The Knock by Jesse Keane, read by Karen Cass.
Book 1.
Chapter 1.
1955. There were three of them, the O'Brien girls, growing up. Lil, the eldest, then June, with the remaining limp after the childhood spent in calipers and orthopedic shoes, then Dora, the baby of the family. While Mum worked part-time at the local shop to bring in a few extra pennies, big, capable Lil saw to the two younger girls and helped keep the house clean. Not that it was much of a house. It was a measly little rented two-up, two-down in East London. So the three girls had to share a bed, and the lav was out in the backyard, a tin bath hanging on a nail beside it. The girls amused themselves on winter evenings by scraping the ice off the inside of their bedroom window, making pretty patterns. Sometimes the older two would make their hands into rabbit heads and horses and project them onto the wall by the light of the gas lamp. Christmases and birthdays, if they were very lucky, they got one gift each, and it was never a lavish one. Dad was on the bins. They were poor, but happy. Except for the bitching, that was. Lil was stoic, robust. June was nervy, skinny, always cold, shivering in the winter, her feet and hands like blocks of ice even in the heat of summer. And Dora? It was as if a good fairy had come down off the Christmas tree, waved her magic wand, and said, "To you, Dora, I give the gift of beauty." Dora, the baby of the family, was the pretty one with her silvery hair, pouty lips, and languid blue eyes. The one Mum cuddled and sighed over. The one people stopped in the street to stare at. "What a little beauty," they exclaimed.
"She could be a film star, looks like that."
"You must be so proud."
Dora's mother, Frieda, was proud of her youngest. None of her family were prize winners in the looks department, but Dora was the exception, and so she was full of confidence, buoyed up by praise, radiant with it. She twirled around their little sitting room to the radio, while Perry Como sang "Papa Loves Mambo" and Dean Martin crooned "That's Amore." Times were pretty good. Things still tight, but mending. The war was long over. Rationing was at last being phased out. Lil, as the eldest child, watched her mother clapping and laughing as Dora the Adored, her sister's nickname for her, leapt around the room. Lil vacuumed the carpets, washed the scullery floor, shopped, caught the rag and bone man with his cart at the gate to get the pots mended or sell their old clothes on for a few pennies. She spent most of the week too tired to drag herself around the place, and what thanks did she ever get? Dad was sitting in his chair nearest the fire, smoking his pipe. He'd been too old to enlist. There was that to be grateful for, or they really would have been in the shit, Frieda alone with three kids to raise. He read the paper and didn't look up at Dora dancing and throwing her arms around.
"You'll ruin that kid, praising her all the time,"
he often told his wife. He was a firm believer in children being seen and not heard. He'd never had all this claptrap going on with Lil or June. Why with Dora?
"Oh, she's full of joy, little Dora," Mum would say indulgently. "Let her dance. Where's the arm in it?"
Mum's indulgence to Dora seemed to know no bounds. She scrimped and saved enough to send the girl for a few elocution lessons to iron out the thick Cockney accent in her voice. Singing lessons followed, and then dance classes down at Harry Willoughby's decrepit old dance hall. It all cost the earth, and there had been rows about it. Dad said it was more than they could afford, but to Frieda, nothing seemed too good for Dora. Dora was aware that Lil and June watched her resentfully. Poor scrawny June, with her built-up left shoe, was always eager to please, so eager that being a telltale never bothered her for a minute. Dora would watch almost pityingly as June loaded the washing into the baby Burko in the scullery every Monday before school, getting her hands red and cracked from handling the washing powder, winding the whites through the